We're back.
It all starts again from zero. The expectations are there. People expect something. But more than that, we expect ourselves to do well again.
It's all to play for again.
It's going to be long hours in the garage for the guys. We're big on ambition and desire, and that makes us perform very well.
19 races, two drivers, one fantastic team.
People enjoy working within the team. They feel part of the team. There's a strong team spirit, and it's that continuity and stability that is so important from which to build from. Our focus is very much based on ongoing racing and trying to get the best out of ourselves.
This is the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
Hi there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion. You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man. You're a triple world champion.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
We're back. It's the first Grand Prix of the 2013 season, and we're in Melbourne, Australia, one of the most popular and friendliest venues on the schedule. Melbourne has become a firm favourite with fans and drivers alike since replacing Adelaide as the home of the Australian Grand Prix in 1996. The circuit itself only comes into existence once a year, and around the flat street track, there are 16 turns on its 5.3-kilometre lap. The race is 58 laps with a total distance of 307.6 kilometres. Coming up on this podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their 2013 debut. We also catch up with Christian Horner, Sebastian Buemi and David Coulthard to get their thoughts on the new season. First, though, a new season always brings changes for rules and regulations in Formula One. The big changes happen next year, of course. However, there are plenty of tweaks for this season, too. We'll quickly bring you up to speed. Teams will now have the option of fitting a small piece of laminate, nicknamed the vanity panel, over the step on the nose so that there's a smooth transition on the nose section. Pirelli's move to make its products more structurally rigid in 2013 means that tyres will be heavier this year. As a result of that, the FIA has agreed to increase the minimum weight of the cars, lifting it from 640 kilograms in 2012 to 642 this year. Formula One teams are going to have to ensure their front wings are stronger in 2013 following a change in the way the FIA's legality tests are conducted. As part of an ongoing clampdown on teams trying to run clever flexi-wing technology, the governing body are now going to test this part of the car in two separate locations. F1 chiefs are always pushing to improve safety, and the structure and integrity of cars is an area constantly being made better. For 2013, there is a new, tougher test being introduced on the roll structures as well as on the survival cell. Now, drivers will only be allowed to activate DRS in the exact same areas where it's being used in the race. Free use has been banned this season in practice and qualifying. The FIA is also keen to have two zones at each track for 2013. And with 22 cars on the grid in 2013, there will now be six cars knocked out at the end of Q1. A new year not only means a new car and new rules, we also get a fresh set of kit to take away to the races. Katie spoke to our system engineer Tom Batch to find out what he makes of it.
Tom, everyone says that the first race of the season is like being back at school and everyone's got their new uniform on. Tell us what you're wearing at the moment, what your uniform is.
When the season starts, we get a brand new kit, so it is a bit like going back to school. And the lovely ladies from the race office issue us with kit for the season, so we get brand new Pepe jeans, t-shirts for race day, our Geox trainers, shorts, trousers, rain jackets, fleeces, everything you could need for all weather conditions and climates. And at the moment I've got my high-vis vest on as well because we're packing up in Australia. So yeah, that's pretty much it. But it is a bit like being back at school.
So it sounds like they cater for everything you might need. So how much kit is it that you're given?
We get maybe five or six race shirts for the season, and obviously they get laundered every week when we go, or when we get to a new hotel or new race event, and we get maybe three, four, five pairs of trousers, something like that, three or four pairs of trainers, and this year we're getting Sennheiser headphones as well, so that's kind of included in our travel kit, which is quite a cool little perk. So yeah, they look after us really well. We get everything we need, and it's all, you know, all the correct sizes and stuff that you need for the season. If you put a little bit of weight on, obviously you can get bigger ones, or if you lose a bit you can get smaller ones if you sweat it out in Malaysia. So yeah.
Is it comfortable and do you like it?
Yeah, it's really breathable. I think a lot of work and time goes into developing our kit and making sure we have the right stuff for the environment we work in. So a lot of thought and time goes into that, and a lot of work with the suppliers and stuff as well to make sure it's what we need. So yeah, it's definitely some of the best kit we've had.
And it must make it pretty easy to pack as well, is it, when they give you everything?
Yeah, it's already folded and it comes in a suitcase the day before we fly to Australia, so it's all a bit last minute. And the girls in the race office have quite a big job getting all the kit for everyone, and everyone's moaning about sizes and changing stuff. But yeah, it's always handy, it's always packed for you and ready to go, so it's all right, it's not too bad.
And one favourite item, if you have to pick one?
Probably race shirt. I think it's quite cool. It's got your name on it, which is always nice. So yeah, makes you feel like you're going racing again. You get that kind of feeling when you get your new kit and you know you're in for another season and heading off to Australia, which is always nice. So.
And you can get your hands on some of the kit they were talking about there. Don't forget to take a trip around the Ball Shop's new range. You'll find it online at www.redbullracing.com. On to the race weekend now. Qualifying got off to a tricky start for all on Saturday with heavy downpours. The session was halted after Q1 and rescheduled for 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Laura caught up with David Coulthard after Q1 to get his thoughts on the new season.
So David, you join us after Q1 with sectors 2 and 3 now postponed until tomorrow. Did that kind of situation ever arise when you were racing?
Well, not that exact situation, but in 2005 we did have the early part of the season where we had qualifying on Saturday on low fuel and then qualifying on Sunday morning with our race fuel, and the two times were combined and the average was there to give us a grid position. That was abandoned quite early in the year because it was a bit confusing for the public. We did have I think it was in 2004, we were in Japan, there was a storm warning, so they battened down the hatches and we didn't have any qualifying at all on Saturday, so we did it Sunday morning. But it's very unusual. It means a lot of work for the boys, and you know, what we have now is a situation where we have to wait and see what happens in qualifying.
Do you think that's quite unsettling for drivers, given that they must be very set in their ways usually?
I think they just deal with what they have, and the knowledge that it's the same for everyone is something that allows you just to get on with it. What's unsettling for drivers is to feel they're being dealt a different card from the rest of the drivers.
Can you just talk us through a lap of Albert Park?
Well, it's a temporary track. The actual tarmac is quite a closed tarmac, so quite smooth, but because of the fact it's used the rest of the year for people parking their cars and going around in rollerblades and what have you, then there's a lot of white lines and parking lines, so in changing conditions where you have damp tracks, then it does make it quite tricky for the drivers to really feel the grip from the tarmac. Turn one is a very short apex turn. Turn two is pretty much just an opening corner. Big, high energy braking down into three. Four is a kink. Five is a high speed ride between the concrete walls. Down into six and seven, slightly under the trees, so you always sort of fear, you know, visibility or damp patches on the road. You come around the back of the lake into the chicane at turn nine, fairly straightforward chicane, long climb round to the high speed chicane at 11 and 12, and then that opens out into another high energy braking spot down at 13. 14 is a sort of medium to high speed turn, the second last corner very low speed, down into first gear on occasion, and then an opening turn as you come out through the last turn at 16 and sort of present yourself onto the start finish straight. So it's a busy little lap and certainly gives good challenge for the drivers.
Have you ever tackled it on rollerblades?
The only time I ever tackled anything on rollerblades was after I bought a set in Montreal, took them back to Monaco, whipped them out around the harbour and fell firmly on my backside, so they were retired very early.
Okay, we're sorry to hear that. Will you be going to the Red Bull Australia party tonight?
It's not on my agenda as we speak because I've got an early start in the morning, a flight to Sydney before heading up to KL for a Red Bull Infinity event. So no, I don't think I'll be partying this evening.
Okay, well, we'll catch up with you again in Malaysia.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come race day, the team managed to lock out the front row of the grid. Seb claimed his 37th career pole with Mark alongside him in second place. When the lights went out at the start of the race, the defending champion held the lead into turn one at Albert Park. He set about consolidating the advantage, but through the first two stints, the Ferraris of Felipe Massa and Fernando Alonso were always in attendance, and it was Alonso who got the jump on Seb, skipping ahead in the second pit stop as he pitted a lap earlier. It then became clear that Kimi Räikkönen would not be making a third stop, the Finn claiming his second win following his 2012 comeback. Seb held on to third place to bank 15 solid championship points. Here is Sebastian after the race.
I think it's difficult to expect anything
feeling going into the first race. This morning we were very happy with qualifying, and I think overall the whole weekend the balance of the car was really good. In the race, I think for us, you can only really judge yourself, and for us we had a little bit too much wear with the tyres. Lotus obviously was the best, or Kimi did the best job out of everyone, looking after the tyres and managing to stop only twice. So there comes the big difference, and yeah, they did the best job today, but I think overall we can be very happy with the week. We have a very good car, which is the most important. The guys did a very good job, so yeah, lots of things to look forward to.
It was a tougher race for Mark Webber. He got away badly and dropped a seventh from the start. He suffered from telemetry issues on the grid and a loss of Kurs. Despite the problems, Mark made the sort of comeback he's famous for and climbed from 17th to finish in 6th place. Here he is after the race.
Well, we had a lot of telemetry issues on the grid. We had absolutely no idea what the car was doing in terms of Kurs, in terms of clutches, in terms of all sorts of stuff. So I think the guys were quite nervous with that. Also, I was. We didn't really have too much of an idea what the in terms of getting information back to the guys in the pits. We lost Kurs as well for the majority of the first part of the race, so that made it very difficult. We had a very, very difficult first pit stop, which was slow. So, wow. Yeah, we ticked a lot of boxes in the first half an hour of the race, unfortunately, in a negative fashion. But as it's always the case, that you never count your chickens until it happens. And, you know, again, there's another clear indication of how Formula One works sometimes, that, you know, we did everything we could, but ultimately we have to go to Malaysia and do better.
So there are lots of positives to take out of the first race. Laura spoke to our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, afterwards to see how he thinks the new season is shaping up.
So, Sebastian, you join us at the first race of the 2013 season. How excited are you to be back?
I'm really excited, you know. Obviously, now the first race is over, and to finish on the podium, in a way, we can be happy, and on the other way, it's a bit disappointing, you know, starting from the front row with both cars. But at the end of the day, we still scored, you know, important points, and now it's very important to work on the car and try to make it quicker. And I think, you know, it's good to leave Melbourne with quite a few points in our bag.
Given what we saw on track today, how exciting do you think the 2013 will be in terms of championship contenders? Do you think it could be even more tightly contested than last year?
I think it's going to be really open. We've seen that the Ferrari are quick, you know, the Mercedes are quick as well, and the Lotus, obviously, with the victory of Kimi. So it's not going to be an easy season. It's going to be really important to focus on the details and try to, you know, get the most out of the car and to finish the races. It's really important to grab all the points we can, because we know at the end of the year it's going to be tight, and all those little points, you know, are going to make the difference.
You're obviously leaving the track quite soon. Are you going to sample the Melbourne nightlife tonight?
I don't have time, obviously. I'm going back to Europe because I'm going to test and prepare my Le Mans race, which is in June. So I'm going to be in the plane tonight and be back in the Paul Ricard for 3 days next week, and then go back to Malaysia on the Friday evening. So it's going to be a tough week for me.
No rest for the wicked.
No rest at all.
All right, we'll catch up with you again in Malaysia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Final word on the first podcast of the season goes to our principal, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
Christian, it's been a very busy day for you with qualifying and the race in one day. How's it been?
It's been flat out from start to finish. So obviously the day started very, very well with locking out the front row, pole position for Seb, and alongside him Mark. And then going into the race, we had some issues to begin with, even on the formation lap, with the telemetry that's supplied by a third party. And unfortunately, that ruined Mark's start because it didn't give the information he needed for the clutch control and actually shut his Kurs system down as well. So that was a frustrating start to the race, certainly from Mark's perspective and from our perspective. And as early as lap four, despite Seb getting into the lead, it was clear that we had, you know, we were working the tyres too hard today. So there's no way we could have done a two-stop strategy like Kimi Raikkonen did, but as it turned out, you know, third place finish to be on the podium at the first race was the best result we could achieve.
And why is the tyre wear so much higher this year? Is it just due to car setup? What's the difference?
Well, it's a different type of tyre this year, so Pirelli have subtly changed the tyres over the winter. And of course the temperatures were pretty low today, and I think that we were just out of the window with the optimal settings for the tyre. So there's a lot of lessons that we've learned today, and you know, there's certainly a good lesson for future cold races.
And how were the drivers after the race?
Yeah, fine, good. I think taking an awful lot of positives out of it. The great news is that RB9 is definitely a very competitive car. We've got work to do. We've got to make sure that we get on top of understanding what the tyres need in which circumstances and which conditions. But it's clear we've got a great car, and to get both to the finish as well in the first race is another really positive aspect.
And then just looking to Malaysia quickly, the fact that it's very different weather there, will that turn the tables on all the results again?
I have no idea. It depends how these tyres behave in Malaysia. So, again, I think it's going to take about 4 or 5 races to get a true pattern of what the pecking order of the teams is. So Malaysia's a totally different challenge to here. High-speed corners, a bespoke racetrack, and potentially much higher temperatures. So it's going to be a whole load of different issues that we're going to be dealing with there.
Well, that's it for the first podcast of the 2013 season. You can check out all the behind-the-scenes pictures, plus get all the team news on the website. There's not much time to ponder over events at Albert Park, as we'll be back up and running on Wednesday, ready for round 2 in Malaysia. If Grand Prix are going to be as tight and exciting as this evening in Melbourne, we're in for another great season. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care.